Welcome to Health Talk. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay. So, anyway, you're also from the region. You're from upstate New York.
Yes, we are. Albany area.
Okay. All right.
Right on the Vermont border in a tiny little town.
Okay. So what is your book all about here, Finding Wisdom in Desire? Because you seem to be touching on a lot of the, the basic human needs of fulfillment and nourishment and intimacy and so forth.
Yes, exactly. The book is really about, or is for people who are interested in pursuing their health and well-being. And it aims to let people know that there's a resource that we often overlook that can help us towards those goals of health and well-being. And that resource is in our desires. And so what the book tries to do is to look at the ways in which we think about desire and help us see that there are other perspectives as well. Because I think in our culture, we tend to think of desire as something to distrust, as something that as an impulse that arises within us that we need to control, that we need to master. And part of what I want to say is actually, if we sit with our desires and work with our desires, we can find that there's wisdom in them that is actually guiding us towards the health and well-being we seek.
Mm, that is a good question. So you seem to be suggesting with the title of your book, Kimmer, that the there's a basic instinct here that we should, the default mode should be that we should follow that.
Yeah, well, I think part of what I analyze in our culture is an education that we get that we're not even aware of getting, where we develop this common sense of ourselves as being minds that live inside these bodies. We tend to treat our bodies as objects or things, material entities, which we need to control or we need to make fit or we need to tamper in certain kinds of ways. And so as a result of this education, we tend to perceive our desires as these impulses, as I was mentioning, that we need to control. And so this is a very powerful way of experiencing ourselves. But what I want to argue is that there's actually other ways that we can experience ourselves as well. For example, we can experience our bodies as movement. And we can experience our bodies as moving in every moment. And as being the movement, and this is sort of a phrase I developed in the book, as being the movement that is making us. It's the movement of our bodies breathing and beating in every moment that enables us to think the thoughts we think and feel the things we feel and do the actions that we take. And if we develop this sort of sensory awareness of ourselves as movement, then other possibilities for interpreting our sensations of lack or frustration or irritation appear.
So is this a process of training yourself then? Is this like an awareness heightening thing? You educate yourself to be aware of the movement and aware of what your body is up to.
Yes. And part of the argument I make in the book also is that we're always training ourselves to something. So in every movement of our lives, we're teaching ourselves to notice one thing and not another. And to become aware of that process is to sort of reclaim some of our power, actually, as human beings, some of our creativity and some of our freedom, so that we can start to realize that actually, we can practice developing our sensory awareness in ways which will enable us to experience our desires as having this kind of wisdom. And then I develop that out in terms of food and in terms of intimate relationships and in terms of our sense of our sort of meaning and purpose in the world.
Well, I see that when you went to Harvard that you studied religion. Is there a spiritual construct to this? Is there a big component of organized religion that gets applied here?
No, there isn't. I did study theology and philosophy, actually, in the modern period, so in the Christian Europe and America. And in this study, I was really looking at sort of the attitudes towards the body as they've developed in our culture and how Christianity has fed into the development of those attitudes that we take as common sense. So when I talk about the desire for spirit in the book, I'm not talking about any particular religion as much as what it is we think about religion given the ways in which we've learned to think about ourselves as human beings. So, for example, in contemporary culture, we tend to think of religion as something as having to do with beliefs. So if we want to know if somebody's religious or not, we ask them, well, what do you believe? That's a particular way of thinking about religion, and it leads us to think that if we find the right belief or the right practice or the right community, then we're going to be happy. And so part of what I want to say is this is one way of perceiving this sort of desire for what I call spirit, but we can also learn to perceive it differently in a way that won't so much focus on us finding the right belief or right practice, but on actually engaging in this process of bringing into being the world in which we want to live.
Very interesting. Kimmerer LaMothe is the author of What a Body Knows, Finding Wisdom in Desire.